Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, here with Big Cass, and Ohio State, they got it done. The shoe was beautiful, Cass. It was a sea of red. They beat Penn State, you know, pretty handily. They didn't cover, but I'll take it, man. It was ugly at times, but we got the job done. What were your thoughts on that win?
The game wasn't closer than what the score indicated. I think Ohio State dominated. I know they Penn State showed some flashes and stuff, but all in all, they didn't. Ohio State dominated them, other than on the scoreboard. And I don't care what anybody says. You play one of your rivals and beat them by 9 points. Who Penn State is still a good team. 3 weeks ago, they were ranked really, really high. I know they kind of filtered it off, but Penn State always plays the Buckeyes tough. I don't care what anybody says. Penn State's always going to bring it. And I thought Sean Clifford, all in all, basically did his thing.
He played well.
And he played well. And I think Penn State's better than what their record says. I think that if they played Iowa again, if they had shut the Sean Clifford from the Ohio State-Penn State game, they'd beat Iowa. And I think they would somehow, some way, not lose a 9-overtime win game against Illinois. I think Penn State's a solid team, and how they got left out of the college football playoff rankings is baffling.
But we'll get more into it. How is Mississippi State ahead of them? Explain that to me.
I don't know. There's some parts of the rankings I liked, some I didn't like. Sorry, everybody. I'm speaking so fast. I've had a long week, and everything. It's just going to get any longer with the next 2 days. But it was a solid win. I would love for the Buckeyes to score it in the red zone, but it happens. It happens in big games all the time, but they found a way to win. I thought CJ Stroud was solid. I thought Travion Henderson had his best game. I don't care what anybody says.
He had a great game, Cass. I was just want to say it was the most, you know, he's a stud when he has over 150 yards rushing, and I feel like he could have gotten a lot more. And like I was disappointed he only had 150 yards.
Well, the problem with that is I thought he had a solid game in one of his best games, because he kept grinding and getting better and getting better towards the end of the game. And that's the biggest thing. I think defensively, it was our best game defensively.
Oh, absolutely.
People are like, oh, you gave up 354 yards. Yeah, but Clifford only averaged 6 yards a pass. He threw the ball 54 times. It was all dink and dunks, and I thought we tackled well. Yeah, there was a few times where we, you know, had missed assignments, but that's been the Ohio State theme this year, where we've had some missed assignments. And Penn State's a good football team. We held a typically good rushing offense to under 50 yards rushing as a team. So,
I mean, defensively, I thought it was a really good game. I agree with you, Cass. I mean, we had an interception. We forced two other turnovers. We had a defensive touchdown. We had over four. We had four sacks and eight tackle for losses. So yeah, defensively, they were making plays. Yes, I think they do got to clean up over the middle of the field. I think we were getting really, you know, they were definitely like targeting us over the middle of the field, and they were definitely targeting the one side of the defense where Denzel Burke was not. It was the one side mainly where Shaw and who was it, like Seven Banks or Cam Brown? They were throwing away from Ward, is all I remember. I had really good seats at the game, but defensively, I thought it was honestly our best performance yet. I thought we played a really good. We played bend don't break. Honestly, that's what it kind of was. It wasn't pretty at times, because you know we were giving up yards, but I felt like, you know, we were making them earn every first down.
Yeah, absolutely. And they had to earn everything. Penn State absolutely brought it, and I thought Ohio State did. I thought C.J. Stroud had a great game. I really did. Yeah. Yeah, one, I would have liked to see more touchdowns out of him, but he leads the nation in QBR. He's number one in the nation in QBR.
No, I thought – I mean, I thought Stroud played great too. You would like to see them finish the drives off more. I think that just because we – I think missing Teague is something that hurts the offense in those situations. Whether – you know, some people are going to disagree with me. Some people are going to say, oh, no, we need to give the ball to Travion Henderson. You know, Travion Henderson's the guy. He's the bell cow. I understand that. But I think on, you know, a couple of those short yardage situations, I think Teague – finds a way to get the first down. I love Henderson. I just don't think he has really mastered that in his game yet. And that was evident. What was happening. Also, the refs were really bad, Cass.
My Lord.
It was bad from the stands. You could clearly see how bad they were.
Let me tell you this. Big Cass, if Big Cass has a problem with officiating, then the refs were bad. How many times have I even said on this show – how many times have I said in person that bad calls do not make a game? You're going to have bad calls a game. But this game, in particular game, it was like they wanted the Buckeyes to lose. Like, it was so bad. Like, I don't know how many times our D linemen were being wrapped around the neck. I thought Tommy Eichenberg was having a solid game. Yeah. He was being wrapped around the neck. Every receiver, when they threw a swing pass, was holding our defensive backs. It was ridiculous. Like,
they called a phantom PI on Denzel Burke.
That was awful.
Yeah, that was atrocious. They called three, what was it, snap infractions on Luke Whipler.
They were bad. That was his fault.
Were they? Because I asked Jamie. Yes. I asked Jamie about that on Twitter. Like our you know, Jamie Sumner, our friend, our buddy, friend of the show, former lineman. And I was curious. I'm like, was that the ref just being ticky-tack, or was it actually Luke Whipler? I couldn't tell from the stands. I mean, what did you see?
I saw a couple. I mean, yeah, maybe they could have been ticky-tack, but he did. It was a false start, but okay. I mean, but they were just. But I wouldn't have called them. That's just me. But it just seemed like every time the defense would get off the field, there would have been a stupid either penalty on the defense, like. The one touchdown in the second half. Oh, Penn State got 30 free yards.
Mm-hmm.
So bad.
Well, just so yeah, bad. the Steel Chambers play too. That was ridiculous.
Now we're gonna miss them for Nebraska.
That was a ridiculous call, in my opinion. Because if you watch it, Chambers went low, and it's at the line of scrimmage too. And then like Clifford was basically ducked into him. I don't know how that's targeting. Terrible call. They didn't even show the replay at the game. But overall, I mean, I got no complaints really about the defense. I'm happy we got the job done. We got the win. Olave continues to own Penn State. I know he didn't have the greatest game. Stroud also missed him on that touchdown, which I think was because he had to run back because for some reason the refs didn't blow the whistle on that clear incomplete pass to Mayan Williams. It's not even a fumble. It wasn't even a fumble. It was clearly incomplete, and they made Stroud run all the way, you know, 80 yards to go tackle this guy. And then the next play, he short arms the pass, probably because he's exhausted from running 80 yards.
And it looked like it was a miscommunication between him and Olave also. So that was a little bit of a factor too.
Yeah.
I mean – all in all, it was a great game, despite, you know, some of the bad calls that we've had and all that stuff. Like, it was a pretty good, solid win.
Noah Ruggles is automatic.
Yeah, like, automatic. I hope, knock on wood, like, hopefully, if we have to use him this weekend, that, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it was a solid win. We got out of there, and then we ended up becoming fifth in the college football playoff rankings, which, you know, I'm pretty happy about.
I'm psyched. I thought we were going to be seven.
Let's talk about the rankings now. Now we got Penn State over with. I thought the rankings were correct with the teams. The teams.
Yeah.
Now, the placement of the teams, I would have put Michigan State at 2 and Alabama at 4, Oregon at 3. That's just me.
All right, it's frustrating because.
But I see why they did. Like, I really.
I see
like,
it. I'm fine with it. I'm happy because Ohio State basically is in a control.
To me, to me, it doesn't matter if you're it doesn't matter if you're 2, 3, or 4. It really don't.
Just as long as you're in.
One. I mean, it doesn't really matter if you're one either. But the only thing that it gets the perks of being number one, you get to choose your destination where you go.
Yeah.
But as long as you're 1 through 4, it doesn't really matter. You're going to a playoffs in a neutral site game. But it, like people are saying, SEC bias. Yeah, SEC bias is later in the rankings. I thought with having 3 Big Ten teams in the top 10 and being in the top 7 is huge. Cincinnati fans, you can go into your little corner, go sit in a corner, because no matter what you do, you're going to need a ton of help because your conference sucks.
Quit
writing on this Notre Dame. Like,
do we really when you look at it, like when you break it down, is the goal of the committee to get the best teams in or the most deserving? Because if it's the best four, then like, honestly, it would probably be, if it's the best four, then it's going to be Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and probably Oregon. That's the best four, in my opinion, based on everything
I thought it was
I've
funny
watched.
Where they placed Oklahoma. I thought it was funny.
They did a good job. I mean, it, based on eye tests and everything, I think they did a very good job of, when it comes to the eye test, putting not based on the wins losses, they actually put, I think, the best teams, because there's no way you can tell me Alabama, even with the loss, is not a top four team.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's
people
what
are freaking out.
Like, and that's what I'm trying to tell people. Just because they're number two right now, if they lose to Georgia, they're out. They're not getting in.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. If Ohio State, Oregon, Oklahoma win out, I'm sorry, Oklahoma is going to jump with Cincinnati. Because they got games against Oklahoma State and Baylor coming up.
Yeah.
And a rematch against either one of those teams, too. So, like, Oklahoma's still, like, they may look ugly right now, but they're finding ways to win. If they go undefeated, they're in. No, hands down. Oregon wins out. Ohio State wins out. Georgia beats Alabama. There's your Final Four.
Here's the thing, though. Alabama is going to beat Georgia. Like, I just want to get ahead of this.
Georgia don't have enough offense. I'm sorry. Destroyed Florida, but Florida couldn't move the ball.
Alabama's going to win the SEC championship. They're going to beat Georgia. I have no doubt in my mind. But that's here nor there. I do like, though, that the committee, they realize Cincinnati is not the best team in Ohio. I'm glad. I'm thrilled that they knew that. I mean, everyone in Ohio knows that, even UC fans. It's
except for my cousin.
Yeah, come on. You can't tell me UC is a better team than Ohio State. They play easier schedule. They don't get half as many as good recruits as Ohio State does. We 2 years ago on the field, it was no contest. I know the programs are a little different now, but I guarantee you it's still the same. We beat Indiana by a bigger margin.
It will be interesting to see what they do against Tulsa, though, this weekend.
That will be interesting. That's an important game, too, because those are data points. Like, we have the Indiana game and the Tulsa game. Those are data points where we can literally compare and contrast how Cincy plays. I have a feeling Tulsa's going to play him tough, though, Cass.
I do, too. Tulsa's better than what this record shows.
I agree. But
yeah, I think the committee got it right when it comes to the teams. So calm down, everybody. I think we'll be just fine. We went out, we're in. That's all that matters.
I'm calling it now, though. In classic Ohio State fashion, Michigan State is going to lose a week or two before we are supposed to play.
They play Purdue Columbus this week. At Purdue.
They're going to lose. Who do they play after Purdue?
I'm just saying they could lose to Purdue.
They're not going to lose to Purdue. I don't think. But
no,
they're
coming off an emotional win against Michigan State. Michigan.
They play Maryland after Purdue. They're going to lose one of those, and it's going to. We have this juicy,
I'm telling you, Purdue. The game is at Purdue. and Ohio State was ranked number three in the country when we lost with Dwayne Haskins and company. Tyler Trent was up there. The spirit of Tyler Trent will come back, and somehow someone like Kenneth Walker will have a bad game, and Purdue's going to upset Michigan State.
Kenneth Walker's going to have like 20 carries for like 35 yards and like a fumble or something. I like, it's either going to be the Purdue game or the Maryland game. And we have this beautiful 5-3 matchup set up before our eyes. And it's going to go to become a, like a 4-11 matchup or something stupid. And then we're going to beat them. And then Michigan State's going to fall down to like, you know, 20. It's just the way this happens. And I'm calling it now. That's going to happen. But we got a game. We got a game tomorrow, Cass, at noon. I'm psyched. We actually have a big noon kickoff game for this one.
Big noon kickoff won't be there because the crew's here.
I know. They won't be there, but it's. I'm excited for this one. This is. I think a lot of people are in agreement. This is the perfect like noon game. It's just, you know, late in the season. We just had a night game. Let's do a noon game. Everyone. I'm still exhausted from that night game too. I mean, we didn't get home till like 1 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, I'm exhausted for other reasons because the Big Noon Kickoff crew, by the way, is in Annapolis, Maryland. Mm-hmm. We are in Annapolis, Maryland with Salute the Troops live broadcast on NFL on Fox starting at 11 a.m. The Naval Base Academy, the Navy Academy. So I've gotten to see some pretty cool things.
Absolutely, yeah. Cass is living it up down there. I mean, you're showing me pictures of the F-18s outside Navy Stadium. Really cool spot. But let's get into the Nebraska preview, man. I mean, not a ton to be really afraid of with Nebraska.
Is Adrian Martinez still there? Or is it his
still there? He's been there. I feel like
he's Nebraska's version of Aaron Kraft. Like,
I think he has been in college longer than we've been doing this podcast, and this is our fourth season. So he's been there a while. Or I think
he's a junior, right?
So I think he might be a senior, but he probably still has some eligibility still. He's one of those guys.
He's the Aaron Kraft for Nebraska football.
And he is not, and the crazy thing is he has not gotten better at all. He has not gotten worse. I wouldn't even say he's gotten worse. He's literally been the same player he's been since he's been a freshman. He's not a threat passing the ball.
They play you tough. They will play you tough. I just think they have no. I'm sorry, they don't really have anything. I know this could be an emotional game for, like, if Ohio State comes out and blows out Nebraska, they need to fire Scott Frost last week.
Yeah, it's tough. I expect – for some reason, I expect them to play us tough just because I feel like – I just kind of sense that the team, based on what I've been, like, just seeing – like, Tennessee Jeff's not even going to the game. I know Tennessee Jeff has a cold. So, if, like, our number one fan isn't going to the game, I just have a feeling that, you know, I think we will come out a little lackadaisical tomorrow, especially, too, after that big physical game against Penn State. I do see, and the spread too is only like 14.5. So I think Vegas likes Nebraska keeping this interesting. Nebraska has played some teams tough. You know, they played Oklahoma very tough. Not saying much about, but because it's Oklahoma, but that game, you know, is a pretty close game early on in the season. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not worried. I don't think this is a trap game, but I can definitely see this being, you know, a close game in the first half. Maybe we're at the point where Ohio State's making some lazy mistakes.
I think this game kind of reminds you of a 31-6, 31-10 type game. Just Ohio State making stupid, like some dumb.
Not kind of like the Tulsa game.
Like not turning the ball over, but not getting a first down on third down or getting a first down on third and one, keeping them in the game for no reason.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be a really big gauge of can Ohio State keep the momentum going? If it's going to be a big test. I mean, if we can pick back up, because Penn State, that game's different. That game, you just want to come out with a win. You just want to, you know, you just want to avoid the upset. You just, I don't care if it's by a point we win. You just want to beat Penn State. That's a fact.
Right. Right.
Tomorrow, I want to see us kind of pick back up where we left off against Indiana, against Maryland, against Rutgers. I want to see a team like that. If we pick back up and have a game like that, then I'm going to be feeling real good. If we play down to our competition and play like the Tulsa game, then I'm going to be a little concerned as, you know, we have Purdue coming the next week. Then we get into Michigan State, biggest game of the year. And then actually the biggest game of the year, Michigan. And then maybe the Big Ten championship. So Nebraska, though, they don't really scare me, Cass. Adrian Martinez on the year has 12 touchdown passes, 7 picks. He's their leading rusher, 451 yards, 11 touchdowns. Ramir Johnson, he's their other back. He has 433 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's a freshman. He's solid. I mean, he's a solid player. Doesn't really scare me. Can also catch the ball, too. They really like to throw it to their tight end, Austin Allen. Probably one of the better tight ends in the country. 371 yards on this year, 2 touchdowns. And then they have 2 okay receivers, Torre and Manning on the outside. They're not really a threat throwing the ball, though, because Adrian Martinez, that's just not him. I mean, as you saw in the Illinois game, he misses open receivers. So I think our secondary will have a good day tomorrow. The question is, how will our linebackers do either, you know, stopping the run with Adrian Martinez, or will we put a spy on him? That's my biggest question.
My biggest question is the same. I think, how are our linebackers going to handle a running quarterback? Because I don't face it. I mean, when they had Sean Clifford, that Sean Clifford's by far the best running quarterback we've seen all year. Verdell, C.J. Verdell. Anthony Brown. Anthony Brown, I'm sorry.
He gave us fits. I mean.
Yeah.
So Nebraska doesn't have a running. I will say that stuff. Oregon was able to, I think, do a lot better against us because they had a quarterback and they have 2 running backs in Verdell and Nye.
And yet nobody's been able to run against us since then. So,
yeah. So we'll see, though. I mean, will that extra dimension kind of make things interesting? I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting to see how our linebackers match up, though. And also, Steel Chambers, we don't get till the second half.
L.A. Guiote. We'll say Paliai Guiote.
Paulie G.
Hopefully he can get something going and finally he have a breakout game.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, I don't see them really stopping us unless we shoot ourselves in the foot again. You know, we can't have 3 snap infractions. We can't have holdings. We can't be dropping passes.
We have to have a clean game.
Uh-huh. We can't be fumbling the ball on our first possession. And so what frustrated me in the first half against Penn State, too, was the fact that I thought Stroud had a very good first half. He was completing passes, putting the ball right in their hands. The problem is our receivers were either dropping them or, you know, the offensive line was costing us with, like, a big dumb penalty or, you know, Ruckert would fumble it or something. It's the mistakes that our skill guys and our linemen are making, not that Stroud's making. Stroud was throwing some beautiful passes. I would just like to see, you know, some more consistency by our offense tomorrow.
Absolutely. And I think it's going to be a big day. I think C.J. Stroud's going to get back into rhythm. I don't think they have anybody that can cover our receivers or tight ends. I think it's going to be a big day. I think it's going to be a C.J. Stroud day. I think he throws for 250, almost 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. I think that's what kind of day he's going to have, no interceptions.
We also need to make sure we get Travion the ball in space. We really didn't do that well against Penn State. I want to see us get Travion on the outside a little more, because the one time we really did that, he broke one for 68 yards and almost scored.
Yeah, I like to see him catch some screen passes and try
that
to take
too.
It to the house.
Absolutely.
Try to take him to the house, and I think it's going to be a solid win for the Buckeyes. I really do, and I think they might squeak into the top 4.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough this week it really depends. I mean, it does depend on that Oregon-Washington game because they're on upset alert.
I think they are.
I mean, there's a lot of teams I think that could be on upset alert. I think that's a good segue to get into our picks, Cass, unless you have anything else on Nebraska.
No. Currently, the Fighting Jeff Hafleys are up 7-0.
I do have that Virginia on. Tech. Yep, I do have that on, and you love to see it.
Yeah, let's do this.
But let's do our picks. Not a great week. Not a great week, honestly. No.
Keep your eye out on it. Wisconsin at Rutgers. Keep your eye on it.
Okay.
I don't know why. I feel that way.
Which is, you know what's funny about all this? Wisconsin, it's the West looks like it's going to come down to Wisconsin or Minnesota now.
If the Big Ten Championship happened, it would be Michigan State and Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because Ohio State technically has the law. I mean, the tiebreakers rankings, because it does, we're both on the, I would say Ohio State personally, but, all right, this one's interesting. Wake Forest, North Carolina. North Carolina, I believe, was a favorite in this one, and it's at Chapel Hill.
They're a 2.5-point favorite. Give me North Carolina with the upset. I don't believe in Wake Forest.
No, I believe in Wake Forest. Give me Hartman. I think Wake Forest is very disrespected. They're a good team. They've been a sneaky program for a couple years now. I believe there was a stat. I think they had the second most wins in the ACC in the past 4 or 5 years besides Clemson. So they're actually a sneaky good program. They have a quarterback. They got some players. I like their coach. I'm going with the Demon Deacons. How about Michigan's, this one?
Go ahead. Oh. Michigan State at Purdue. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Michigan State's only a 3-point favorite.
I'm going with Sparty.
I think Sparty will win too, but watch out for Purdue. This is one of those typical games. I'm telling you.
How about this one? In honor of you being in Annapolis, even though this game's in South Bend, Navy Midshipmen at 7-1 Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
I would say Navy, but as many football players I've seen for Navy be gimping with walking boots. But you know what? Give me Navy with the upset. Navy is going in to South Bend. They're going to run the triple option all over Notre Dame, and they're going to win this game 21-16.
I agree, Cass. No, and here's why. Because when you look at one, Notre Dame has very not really impressed me. They lost to UC pretty badly. Navy played UC very tough. I believe that was a touchdown game. They only lost by a touchdown. I think they could do it. Why not Navy? It's Veterans Day weekend. Give me the Midshipmen.
For sure. Give me Navy.
Let's do one or two more. LSU Bama. Does LSU pull off the upset?
No.
No? No, I don't think so. Maybe Coach O pulls Navy a rabbit out of his head.
Navy lost by 7 points to Cincinnati, and they beat Tulsa 20-17 last week.
Yeah. How about that? This one. 3:30, Tulsa, Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. But not by 22.5.
I like
Tulane. Tulane hung with them for 3 quarters.
And I told you, keep your eye on it. I called that. I said, keep your eye on that one. That was a good one until Tulane just couldn't get anything going at all. How about Tulane, too? They're the best, worst team. Like, they play all the good teams tough. They played Oklahoma tough. They played Cincinnati tough. Like, you know, a 1 or 2 score game. Tulane has my respect.
And I have an upset this week. My upset pick is Tennessee is going to beat Kentucky.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. This is a fun one. This is a real fun one tomorrow. Late night, 10:15, UTSA Roadrunners, UTEP Miners. I don't think you know anything about these teams, but if you just had to, which one piques your interest?
The Roadrunners, just because of their name.
The Roadrunners have an unreal running back. Literally. So I'm gonna go Roadrunners. That's gonna be a fun one late night though. Two UT teams. So I'm excited about that one.
Absolutely.
But I mean, that really kind of does it for this episode. It's been a quick episode just because one, it's Friday night. Cass has stuff to do. He's on a business trip. I broke my foot playing soccer on Wednesday, so I'm just not feeling great today. It was a quick, episode, but we will, we'll be back next week. We'll be ready to really break down Purdue, talk about, this probably a solid win by the Buckeyes. But Cass, anything else you got before we wrap it up?
Yes, please, if you're a student athlete, I'm sure, I know everybody knows about Jack Miller, but there was also a Wisconsin player that had an OWI also this week. If you're an athlete, and if you're an athlete, whether you're in the Henry Ruggs situation, we all know that story. We're not going to talk about it. Or if you're Jack Miller's situation or the gentleman from Wisconsin, there is Uber, there is Lyft, there is designated drivers out there. Please seek help when you're out and about and you're out in the public eye and you have been having a few drinks. Please seek help. Don't put yourself in situations that will ruin somebody's life or your life. That's it.
I love that, Cass. Absolutely. Like, you're absolutely right. Like, you are a part of Buckeye Nation. If you don't ever feel like, you can't ask someone for a ride, you could literally DM us on Twitter. I will come fucking pick you up. Dead ass. Like, yeah, I'm not drinking right now. Like, you need a ride. They could literally DM me on Twitter. I'll go pick them up. I won't put it out there that, I'll keep your secret safe. If you're, you're 20, 19, 18 drinking and you just need a ride, just let me know. Let someone know. Don't feel like you have to hide it from the coaches or something. Just get home safe. That's all that matters. Don't make a dumb decision. Don't drink underage, but if you do drink underage, it happens on college campuses. We know that. Just get home safe. Be smart. Never get behind the wheel. That's so imperative. That's probably one of the smartest things you can do is just not drink and drive. It's a no brainer, but it's been an issue. It's just not Ohio State. It's Wisconsin. It's the NFL. It's sad, but absolutely, Cass, don't get behind the wheel if you're drinking and driving.
Absolutely.
But on that note, that really does it. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. And as always, go Bucks, beat the Cornhuskers.
Go Bucks.